going to sing our choir song now. Ben, I can't remember what the going up song is. Sorry. God. Which one is it? God is great.
God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. God is great, and I love you, my God. I praise you, Jesus. I thank you, my Lord. Praise you, my God. Hallelujah, Jesus, Lord. I love you, my God. I thank you and I praise you, Jesus. Praise you, my Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. Let's open up our songbook songs tonight. This one's in Sing Unto the Lord, page 56, and Pentecostal Praises, page 337. Sweet By and By. That's Sing Unto the Lord, 56, Pentecostal Praises, 337. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious song of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our day. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, my Lord. I praise you, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, my God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. I'm going to sing song number 77. He's done so much for me. Hey, before we do that one, just wanted to give God my thanks for the opportunity to experience His music and to just be a part of being a part of that choir, being a part of singing with you guys and hearing everybody singing along. It's just something that's unbelievable. And I love in that the verse in there where we talk about being able to sing with Him someday in heaven and singing with a choir made up of all of His saints. And we'll all have perfect pitch, so it'll be amazing. And we'll remember the words and what song we're going to sing, all those things. But just that idea, though, of being with Him and having that time where we can't even help but sing. And I just want to thank Him for that. So we're going to sing 77, He's Done So Much For Me. He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all.
I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sins away. He's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sins away. He's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. He has taken my sins away. I'm so glad Jesus lived in me. I'm so glad Jesus lived in me. I'm so glad Jesus lived in me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lived in me. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus lifted me. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, my God. I praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, my Lord. I thank you for me. Hallelujah, Jesus, Lord. Praise you, my God. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Glory, my God. I praise you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Going to sing our last song tonight. If you're in Sunday school, you can be dismissed now. Song number 301, Think About His Love.
Think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. great is the measure of our Father's love. Think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
Love you, my Lord, and praise you, Jesus. Thank you, my God. Thank you, Lord, and praise you, Jesus. Glory, my God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, my Lord. Praise God. Will you please stand for the word of the Lord?
And besides that, praise the Lord. You may be seated. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Apostolic Assembly of Jesus Christ here in Soldotna, Alaska. We're glad to have you all. I want to welcome our visitors and all our online folks that are so faithful every week to be with us. We appreciate you, and I want you to join right in. Make sure you have your Bibles with you today so you can follow along, word for word. We don't teach anything here that's not in the Word of God, and we want to make sure you know that and you see that. Amen. Yeah, we're just here to praise God and worship God with each and every one of us and just draw closer to Him, to each other. It's a beautiful day here, and everybody seems to be real thankful for what God's done for them. There are a lot of testimonies tonight. It's uplifting to hear your testimonies, to hear what God's done in your life, what He's doing in your life, and how you feel about God. Amen. Friday night prayer. I got here a little late. I got caught up in my studying, and I looked at my clock, and it was 7:30. Whoa. But prayer was awesome Friday night. If you can make it to Friday night prayer, you need to. This is soul food, man. We need all we can get, and Friday night prayer is special. It really is. You have to make the effort to get here, but it's well worth it. Anytime you can spend a few minutes with God, it's worth it, right? Amen. Keep our prayers up for Mark. He's having a hard time there. It sounds like he's turned the corner, though, and he's doing better today. So God does answer our prayers, amen? And Mark's a sweetheart, man. He's been through an awful lot here the last few years, an awful lot. Well, they both have. It's tough when you're married to someone that's having a hard time. You don't really think that much sometimes about the spouse or the husband watching his loved one suffer, but it's pretty hard. I wouldn't say it's as hard as the person that's going through it, but emotionally, it probably is emotionally. And we just need to keep each other in our prayers. Pray for new souls. Pray for God to put a burden on this church's heart for new souls. We need new people. And they need God. That's the thing about it. It's not that we need new souls as much as they need God. And we're their lifeline. And we got to do our part. We need to keep praying for these ones that are still seeking the Holy Ghost. I remember that was rough for me. It took me 3.5 months to get it. And that was probably the 3.5 months of the toughest time in my life. I can't say the worst time in my life, but it was tough. It was tough being around a lot of people that had the Holy Ghost and I didn't have it. And I felt like I made all the right moves and put myself out there a lot just to move to Alaska, and I didn't get the Holy Ghost right away and I couldn't figure it out. But I realized God had to deprogram me a little bit before he could put his spirit inside me. But praise God, he did. Amen. When I was studying this, I was thinking a little bit about us as a body of people, about the unity that we seek and need. And I came across the word harmony, you know, which is, and it, a lot of that's music, just harmony and music. But if we're not in harmony with God individually, we can't be in harmony with each other spiritually, as far as being in one mind and accord. We have to get ours from him and then share it with each other. Amen? And that's a goal. I mean, and that's pretty much a daily battle, because Satan's right there to try to take what we got away from us. He tries to take the unity, the love we have between each other. He's always trying to put a little something in there that just irritates one or the other, or don't feel like this is right or that's right or whatever. Anyway, he never goes to bed, and we can't go to bed with it spiritually either. We need to keep our eyes and ears open and our heart open to what God's had for us and for each other, and be there for each other. Amen. Yeah, another thing I thought about for that harmony and that unity is that the first thing we get up in the morning, we should be reaching out to God. What do you got for me today? What can I do to be more like you and pleasing to you? And the second thing we should be doing is, who can I share with what you've done for me? Give them the opportunity to live for you. Well, there's still time. I know a lot of people put that out there like, oh, you know, they've been saying that for years, but what if you get in a car wreck 5 miles from here and you're 20 years old? You'll give an account right then. We all give an account. When the lights go out here, they go on in the next life. There's no grace period or anything else. You're there. The Bible teaches what you do in this life is what you'll do for eternity. If you live for God here, you'll be righteous for eternity. If you don't live for God here, you'll be spending a place where you don't really want to be. So we owe that to each and every one we can possibly share this gospel with. Amen. I also thought about how fast this year went by. We're only about 3 months away from the new year. We're not even 3 months away from the new year. And we'll be having positions and different things that we do for God and works. And it's a good time to start praying for what you feel in God you should do. A lot of times what God wants you to do is not what you want to do. But if you feel it on your heart to do something from God, that's what you need to do. Amen? Because God knows what's best for us. And the long-term effects of what we do, God will work out for our benefit. It just, when you're kind of sparse about what you do for God, just, well, I'll go this far, but I won't go any farther. Or even when you are doing something, if you just barely get by with it, just for instance, just on a piece of paper on the floor, pick that one up, but there's one a little bit farther down the line. Well, it's too far. Some of you will get that. The cleaners will get that. We need to give God our best shot all the time, 24/7. Amen? And he gives it to us. He's always there for us. He takes care of every problem we ever have. Amen? We owe it to him. This is not just for this building. This is, we do everything for God, not for each other. You don't ever get disappointed that way. Think about that. If things don't, if you're doing something for somebody and they don't act like they really appreciate it or whatever. I mean, sometimes people, somebody told me just not too long ago about something, like something they did for me or whatever. And I said, well, I appreciate that. Thank you. And it wasn't good enough. I mean, I could tell by the look on her face, it wasn't good enough. And I said to him, I goes, I don't feel like dancing right now or throwing my hands up in the air, but I do appreciate it. And it dawned on them how they were acting, and they start laughing themselves. But that does happen in life sometimes. And then sometimes people don't appreciate what you do for them. But if you do everything unto God, He works it all out. Amen? Just think about your own life. I mean, just, I think about my life, and I love God so much for the things He's done for me and worked out for me and things that were impossible, man. Before I start living for God, everything was a hassle, man. I had to work 10 times harder on jobs. It was just a mess. And after I start living for God, things start clicking for me. And I start getting attaboy sometimes when I didn't really need that much of an attaboy for what I did. But God shows favor in the world's eyes for His people. Amen? And He's been good to me, man. He's been really good to me. He's improved a lot of skills I had so much that's not even funny. Mentally, he's healed my mind mentally. He's expanded. He's helped me learn things that I really never had any desire to learn. I enjoy the finer things in life now once in a while, and which I never did before. I was just a Levi's and T-shirts, a hamburger, and a fry guy. And I still like that stuff, but I mean, He opened up a world to me of beauty, and we used to go to plays quite a bit, things like that. I would never go, I would never be seen in one of the places, let alone go to one, and enjoy it, and really enjoy it. So I thank God for all the things, them things, little things, big things, everything. Amen. I know He's done it for every one of us. You know, everybody doesn't get behind the pulpit and can't share that with everybody, but. The next thing I was thinking about was, if we're going to have that harmony with God, He has to be first in our life. The first thing. Like I said, when we wake up in the morning, He's got to be the first thing on our mind. And that might not come easy. You might have to make yourself think, I need to talk to God. If it's just, I get a lot of the messages that come across this pulpit for me are when I'm laying in bed. Either at night or in the morning, especially in the morning. When I don't have anything else in my mind, I just woke up. And I'll be thinking about something I've been studying, and things just start coming together. And if I don't get up and write them down, then they'll go away too. That's happened to me before. But in the morning, when nobody's around, or even if they're around, they're still sleeping, it's quiet. It's just in your mind, you can reach out to God. Because He's a spirit, and you can reach out to Him spiritually. You don't have to say one word. Talk to Him in your brain, and He'll be right there. Amen? God's always right there. And the more you reach out for Him, the sooner He answers. I love living for God, man. I just want to talk about God. I don't really want to teach them. But we better start here. Let's go to Mark, the first chapter. Or Mark, my first scripture is Mark, the 12th chapter. Sometimes I just get that joy that's just overflowing, which I've had it for about 2 days now. I couldn't get upset if I wanted to. I mean, if somebody could hit me with a baseball bat, okay. I mean, that sounds hard to believe, but that's exactly how I feel right now. But we'll get back to being God number one here. Mark the 12th chapter, verse 28. And one of the scribes came, having heard them, reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel,'" or Apostolic Assembly, or anybody else that's listening, "the Lord thy God is one God, and thou shalt love that Lord with thy God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandments greater than these." Now, if you think about that, and you want to go to the Ten Commandments, if you do these things here, you're going to obey every one of those commandments. You're not going to hurt anybody. You're not going to do anything to hurt anybody, or you're not going to do anything against God's word. Because number one thing is the love that God has. If you're full of God's love, full of the Holy Ghost, you can't do anything mean to anybody. It's when you react in the natural is when you say or do things that are not pleasing to God. And this is the way we should treat each other and everybody we come in contact with that love that God shows us. Amen? That's exactly what draws people when they see the real thing. And we talked a little bit last several weeks about hypocrites. For some reason, that's getting to be a bigger deal out in the world. You see all these people preaching, "Yeah, Jesus this, I'm born again, I'm a Christian," and all that, and they don't see him living it. We are obligated every stinking day to live a holy life, be a good example in everything we say and do. Amen? And we can't be a respecter of persons when it comes to this love either. Everybody, especially your brothers and sisters, should get the same amount of care and love from each and every one of us. Not that, well, I'm closer to this one and I'm not so close to that one. That love, that God's love in the first chapter, or the 13th chapter of Corinthians, is the kind of love we need to show anybody. That's that agape love, that supernatural love that looks past people's faults, that looks past the hurts that you've had. If you got anything in your heart, any hurt, animosity, anger, disappointment, tonight, if you do, get rid of it. That's what this altar's for. All that does is weight you down. Weight you down. It's not going to do anything to the person that you have the problem with or persons. It's you that's going to hurt. So if you look at it like that, it might be easier. Anyway, let's go to the second Timothy, the third chapter. This right here has to do with pastors, preachers, teachers, what their obligation is to God's people. Let's start out in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 14. And this is Paul talking to Timothy. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Now, we know there's other scriptures there where he learned them from his mom and his grandma. So they must have been an excellent example of what the Word of God teaches a person's supposed to live like and how they're supposed to raise their children. Because that's another thing. We need to be a good example for our kids at home. Everything we say, do. our kids don't need to be exposed to anything negative. If we have a problem, we need to go behind closed doors between the husband and the wife and talk about it. Because sometimes kids will carry that all the way through their life, and it'll hinder them. Amen? Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And here's these scriptures right here for the ones that think that God can't keep the word, his word, the way he wants it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That can't be any plainer than that, that this is God's word, this is what he's got for his people, and it's up to us to obey it. Amen? Let's go on into the fourth chapter. Yeah, let's just go to the fourth chapter. We'll go to the fourth chapter. We'll start out in verse 1. And that's another thing we need to always remember. Everything that comes from the Word of God is out of love. If God didn't care about us, he would not lay this out for us like this. Show us where the snares are at. Give us the power not to get trapped by them, not to give in to our natural. Tell you every little thing that can happen to you. If you really study the Bible, you're ready for all them darts that are going to fly against you. You know what they're going to be. It's just you have to be alert. You have to be aware. He teaches you that to be sober. And that sober is not drinking beer or wine or whiskey or whatever. That's know what's going on around you. Watch for all these little traps that he sets for you. He knows us. He knows everything about us, man. He knows exactly how we feel about stuff. He knows what irritates us, what makes us happy, what could kind of get to us a little bit that we can think about overnight, and by the next morning we got a real problem. Everything's won or lost right here. Amen? I mean, that's where it's at. It starts in your mind and then it goes out from there. Don't let it stay in there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Yeah, verse 1. I charge thee. Now, this is for pastors and preachers and teachers. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You don't do anything here without the word of God. You don't make judgments on things, no matter what position you have in God, without it being scripture. If it's not scripture, you don't go there. And then you're long-suffering before you do. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, we know that the world's getting like that right now. The good is spoken of as evil, and the evil is good. People do not want to hear the truth. I'm not talking about everybody. I'm just talking about the majority. Does not want to hear what the Word of God has to say. They don't want to change. They want to live a good life, do all these things, and maybe get right with God right at their deathbed. It doesn't work like that. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch, thou in all things endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of the ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, at the time of my departure is at hand. God already showed him he was leaving. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's what we need to do. And here's what we want for ourselves individually. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord thy righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Are you looking forward to him coming back? I tell you, if you're not, you're going to be, because this world is going to get bad, and you're going to want out of here. But right now is the time to get the work done, and we need each and every one to get the work done. We need everybody to do their part this coming year. As they say, all hands on deck, that's where we got to be. Amen? There's not a real lot of people, and there's a lot to do. And we got to help each other out. Amen? And we got to give it our best shot, not just, well, I'll do this, but I'm not going to do that. The day will come when we'll wish they'd done more. Everybody sitting here, including myself, I wish I'd done more. Let's go to 1 John, the third chapter. We're going to see some love and some compassion and mercy in these verses here. And we need to have that for each other right off the bat and then for everybody we come in contact with. Because there's not, love and compassion and kindness are hard to find in this world right now. And people, they're very verbal and they don't pull any punches. When they got a problem with somebody, they talk, it comes out. They're not, they don't have any filters anymore. I mean, it's the way it is. It's hard for me to believe. The way women talk anymore is hard for me to believe. I remember even when I was 30 years old, man, women did not talk like that. Not at all. I mean, I hear it now and I just about, it just grieves me, man. I mean, some of these ladies are educated. They're not people that had a rough life. Some of them are married and had 4 or 5 kids, and they're at least middle class people, and they're talking that way in front of their kids. I can't believe it. I'm very fortunate and blessed. I had a good mom. My mom taught us how we're supposed to be. Maybe we didn't do it for a while, but she gave us a good example of how you're supposed to be. And I thank you for that. Can't hardly talk about her without getting choked up, because I wasn't the kid that she should have had. And I put a heavy burden on her, man, that she didn't have to bear. She had plenty without that. But I can't wait to see her again, too. I will give her the biggest hug she ever had. She was a sweetheart, man. She really was. 1 John, the third chapter, verse 16. Hereby we perceive we love God because he had laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for our brethren, our brothers and sisters. But who hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have a need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him? How dwelleth the love of God in him? That bowels of compassion is about as deep as you can get. I did a little study on that a while back. That's emotionally, that's about as deep as you can get, the bowels of compassion. So that means that that's a spiritual level. It's not a natural level. It's way down deep that you really, really have compassion for somebody. And you'll do anything you can to help them with their burden. Amen. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Action. Love is an action word. Verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemneth us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And what that means is if you're convicted by something, if you see that you haven't treated somebody right or you didn't do what was right, don't let Satan get you down where you can't get up, but you failed for, you can't do it. I just can't do it, Lord. I'm sorry. Don't let him get you to that place. God knows what's in your heart. If you say you're sorry and repent of anything, God's there to forgive you. Amen. He uses that. Satan uses that can't forgive yourself stuff a lot. And then you get defeated. You think you can't go any farther. Well, I've tried and tried and tried. It's not working. If it's not working, you're making a liar out of God. God says he will help you overcome anything. Amen? And it's up to us to pull our bootstraps up and start over again. I don't care if we fall 50 times. That 51st time is the time you're going to make it. And that's the one you want to make. We don't have a choice. We know too much. We have to make it. Amen? Each and everybody in this room has to make it. Amen? I mean, you have to get that mindset that I'm going to make it. Because without that mindset, you're going to have a hard time. I know this is true. I mean, I've seen it in prayer. I've seen it in my own life. You have to. I don't care how, if you got 50 kids and you're married, you are the one that has to make it. They all have to make that decision for themselves. It's God's got to be first. I don't care what situation you're in. Verse 20, for our heart condemneth us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemneth us not, then have we confidence towards God. You know, when you and God are on the same plane, you have confidence, man. When you're not, you don't have that confidence. You don't have that boldness. It's just, it even to talk to anybody about God. If you're not living the life you're supposed to live, you can't talk to anybody about God without feeling like a hypocrite. There's no way. And we don't want to be hypocrites. Verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. It's not hard to live for God. It's hard not to live for God. It's real hard. If you're one of God's and you keep kicking against the pricks, man, that's a rough life. That's another thing. In studying, I even wrote a note down about it. Why do we, when God, if this is all written out of love and concern for his people, why, when we hear this across the pulpit or read it or whatever, why do we get so, I guess, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, or rebellious against his word? These are things that are going to save our soul. These are not to be mean to us. He's addressing our natural nature and telling us and showing us and giving us the power to change. And we kick against that? I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but it doesn't make any sense spiritually. Naturally, nobody wants to tell them what to do. And humility is such a big deal with God. And people, you ask yourself, I've said this across the pulpit before, are you humble? I mean, really be honest with yourself. Are you humble? Because a lot of people think they're humble or not. You can pick it up in their conversation when they say stuff. I'd rather go the extra mile, suffer myself to be defrauded, whatever it takes, to make sure that I'm doing my part. I'd rather do that than to just keep it to myself. Well, I don't think I'm wrong about that. They need to come to me. That's not going to fly. He says if you got a problem with a brother, you go to him. Even if you don't have a problem with a brother, you think they got a problem with you, you go to them. You got to have peace in this family, amen? This is important. Without this peace, we can't have unity. Without this unity, we can't do the job that God's called us to do. Now, is that right or wrong? That's the way it is. Now, we need to start looking at this Word of God seriously. Not just, oh, yeah, that's what I heard Sunday. I mean, this is 24/7. This is the way we have to live. This is the way we have to live out in our jobs, our school, out in public, whatever we do, or wherever we go. Verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us a commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit, which he has given us. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to act like this. And you're going to have that boldness. You're going to have that confidence between you and God that I'm doing what's right. It's only when we start getting a little low on fuel that Satan can start giving us those doubts and manipulate our minds and all these things. Nobody can make you pray. Nobody can make you study. You can hear it across this pulpit the rest of your life, and it ain't going to change a thing unless you do it yourself. But I can tell you from experience, I have lost so much for so many years because I didn't study like I should. And I always studied, but I didn't study. There's a level of studying, man, that if you really make up your mind to do, God will show you things that you can't believe that you didn't know for 40 years. It's here. It's here. It's between you and him, and it's a spiritual thing, man. You know, I'll tell you, once you open that door up, you won't be able to close it. I can't watch TV sometimes. I mean, I don't watch it much anyway. But if I just think I'm going to take a break and sit down and watch TV for a little while, and I'll start getting these thoughts about, well, yeah, I wonder what that means, and I had to go look that up. I'll go look it up. I'll shut the TV off and look it up, maybe never turn it on again for 2 days. I love this Word of God, man. This thing is awesome. I can't believe that I didn't look into it sooner. But this is just words to anybody that doesn't study. You won't know this until you do it yourself, and you won't have the place with God that you want to have either. You want to be close to God. When that trumpet sounds, you want to be there. And you're going to wish you were there if you're not. Amen? This is serious. Don't throw this over your shoulder, because I'll tell you what, in prayer, man, I just can't quit bawling about the world, about God's people, about everything. The prayer's not even for me. And I shed tears like that. I mean, I can't quit. And Friday night in here, last night at home, I couldn't quit crying. I mean, they were burden type tears. They were just, this world is going down, man. And God's people are going down too if they don't stay where they're supposed to be. Amen? This is real. Don't throw it over your shoulder. I'm serious. I'm scared. I really am. Not for myself, but I'm scared for the world. I'm scared for God's people. Because a lot of people don't take this as serious as it should be. I didn't know for 33 and a half years that God was that real. And I just figured I was born bad, and I just had to put up with it. But when I heard that you could actually change, and I had to check it out. But when I got the Holy Ghost, that's when I found out how real God was. That's when I knew, whoa. That's the first time in my whole life I was happy, and I had joy unspeakable. And I still have joy unspeakable. I love living for God, man. I love this Word of God. I love him, man. And I love his people. And I don't want any of you to fail. Now, you can put that in the bank. That's exactly how I feel. I can't be any plainer than that about how I feel about God and his people. He's got me here for a reason, and I'm going to do the best I can. But you know, it's not easy to be raised up in a family of God. because I'm just, I don't feel worthy of the calling to start with, okay? I'll just explain a few things, how I feel about stuff. I don't feel worthy of the calling, and I know that God called me to do this. I knew it before it ever happened, quite a while before that. But I also knew that I wouldn't be accepted by some. But I couldn't, if God wants me to do something, I don't care if nobody accepts me. I have to do it. Amen. And so that's why I'm standing behind this pulpit. But I know that there's some people who've been in the church longer than me. And I don't know how they feel about that one way or the other. They love me. I know the people here love me. But I got to do what God wants me to do. And His people are number one in my life now, besides my family, besides my wife. And I want to do anything and everything I can that we make it. And hopefully that'll be good enough. I remember Alice telling me one time when things were going crazy all over, and she just says, "I didn't ask for this job, Paul. I would have been a great saint." I'll never forget that, man. There's a lot to this job. It's the 24/7s. When you don't see a person or don't know what's going on with them, God's showing them stuff, working with them. There's a lot that goes on when you have a position like this. You can't take it lightly for one thing, but He puts stuff on your mind that was never there before about His people, about situations. And you have to pray about it. How do I handle this the way You want me to handle it, Lord? I mean, I don't know that stuff. God's the only one that knows that. You can't be. Naturally, you can be very intelligent, but that doesn't mean you're intelligent spiritually. God has to show you what He wants you to do or lead you by His word and how you interact or handle situations. And that's why it's so important to pray for your leaders. Pray for them. They're just like everybody. Well, you know me. I mean, I'm just like everybody. I'm not a cut above nobody. But I need all the help I can get. I need all the prayers I can get to get this job done. Until God raises up somebody or I die or whatever. I mean, I take it one day at a time. I might be here for 20 years. I might be here for 20 seconds. You might have to drag me off this altar. You just never know when your number's up. But until it is up, I'm going to do my best. Let's go to Colossians, the third chapter. You know, there was a lot more to what I was just saying there than I said, but I quenched the spirit. I had more to say right then. That's what happens when you quench the spirit. Everybody misses out on something. Colossians, the third chapter. Let's start out in verse 1. As we read this thing, I want you to think about, there's no way we can live like this without being full of the Holy Ghost. And we have to stay full of the Holy Ghost. We can't let anything or anybody separate us from God. We need the strength, we need the power. We need God's mind to be able to discern different things. Chapter 3, verse 1. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God." And that means when you go under that water in baptism and you come out of there, that old person is washed away. You come out of there in the newness of life. You don't have a spot or a blemish on you. And then you receive the Holy Ghost, you got the power to stay that way. Amen. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, and he's supposed to be our life, we're supposed to be prisoners of love. When Christ, who is our love, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Don't you want that? Everybody wants that. If they don't now, they're going to want it. That's the problem. You can't have it both ways. You live for God or you don't. And if you don't, you're going to wish you did. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon this earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscences, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. If you got any of these things in your life, get rid of them. You do not want the wrath of God on you. Nobody does. Verse 7, in the which we should also walk sometime when we lived in them. That was our old life. That's the one that we lost when we got baptized. But now we also put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. That's a big deal right there. They're all a big deal, but that seems to be kind of easy to do sometimes. I used to know a person that you could be standing there in front of them and have two things in your hand. This is a little bit of a, it's not an exaggeration, but this wasn't the situation. But one would be blue and one would be red, and you'd say that's blue, and they'd say no, it used to be blue. They could not tell the truth no matter what you said to them. They were a habitual liar. And everybody knew them for that they lied. You don't want to be known as a liar. You don't want to be known as a liar in the world, and you definitely don't want God to see you as a liar. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off that old man with his deeds. Verse 10, and put on a new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created. We're supposed to be like Jesus. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Syrian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, be holy, beloved, bowels of mercy. There we go. That's as much mercy as you could possibly get spiritually. Kindness, humbleness, mind. If you're humble in your mind, it's going to come out in your actions. It starts, like I said before, it all starts in your mind. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. We were just talking about. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, you also do you. Mercy and love. That's what we're full of. God's people are full of love. He's full of love. And we're supposed to be like him. Amen? 14, above all these things, put on the bond of charity, which we know that's love, which is the bond of perfectness. If you love the way God loves, you're going to be walking in perfectness. And that's going to be a daily battle from today till the trumpet sounds. But it's one that you can win. You do everything you can do today and everything you can do tomorrow, and when that trumpet sounds, you're going home. Amen. And let the peace of God, this is another thing, let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. We want to be in that unity, man. We want to be in that harmony with God and that unity with his people. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Another thing I ask, do you ever hum, or whistle, or sing during the day about God, God's songs or anything? You ever do any of that? Music is a big deal, man. I mean, as far as your mind works, I can be cooking something, breakfast usually, turn on the music, and a lot of times I can't eat. God will start moving on me, and I can't eat. And what do? Eat cold eggs or hot eggs? I'm eating cold eggs. I can always put them in the microwave. I'm going for it. And I've had some of the best blessings I've ever had in my life right then. As I made up my mind, I don't care what's going on. If I get that feeling, I'm going for it. Amen? There's nothing like it, man, like driving down the road. We've all pulled off the road. Just start letting him have his way, man. Just tears running down. There's no way you can drive like that anyway. But I would be in a menace of the highway. But man, it's worth it, isn't it? A touch of God. I mean, how do you put a price tag on a touch of God? No, there's not one. A touch of God. That Holy Ghost moving on you is something else, man. Moving on you, moving in you, moving through you. If the world only knew what this is really like, that, you know, these are just words. If you haven't experienced this stuff, these are just words. But I'll tell you what, if God ever gets a hold of you, and this is for our online people or anybody here that hasn't had this supernatural experience yet, if God ever really gets a hold of you, you'll never forget it. You'll never be able to deny it. And you can't help but want more. I mean, if anything's addicting, it's the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen? I mean, Verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Are you thankful for what God has done for you tonight? I mean, we got Thanksgiving coming up here in a week or so. And every one of us got so much to be thankful for, it's not even funny. If we didn't have anything, just having God's Spirit in you is all of it. There's no price for that. There's no price for it. Never let yourself, if you've been here for 50 years or 50 minutes, never let yourself get bored with the Word of God. I've heard that before. I've heard this before. Don't ever let that happen to you. Because you know what that means? That means your light's going out. That means your first love is going out. You know what the Bible teaches about your first love? You lay that crown down, there'll be somebody right there to pick it up. You don't want that to happen to you. Do you? I don't. I'm going to make sure mine is not picked up. Like the scripture said a little bit before, provoke, lift up, do whatever it takes to get God's people's attention that they might walk the life that he's called them to walk so they can be part of this eternal family. Amen. So we work real hard in this life. What are we going to get out of it when it's all over with? Let's go to Revelation. I always like to finish up with where I'm going. Because this is not a fairy tale. This isn't a Disney shot here. This is actually going to happen. And this is going to happen for God's people. The ones that endure unto the end. The ones that make him first in their life every day they wake up. He's number one. And because you're number one, I want everybody I meet to be able to have the opportunity to know you like I know you. That should be our prayer every day. Revelation, the 22nd chapter, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Wow. This is, you know, the only thing I can liken any of this to is like Star Wars or something, but that, you know, that's not real. But this is real. I mean, we're going to be rulers and reigners with him in the universe, not just the United States, not just in Europe, not just in this world. Worlds to come. It's hard to digest that. But if it's in the Word of God, we got to believe it, right? Verse 5, and there shall be no more night, and they shall need no candle, either light of the sun. For Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this prophecy of this book. Let's go over to verse 10. There's more. And he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And here's the one that, when he tells you, I come as a thief in the night, that's what this means right here. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me, to give every man according to as he has work shall be. So that tells you right there, show me your faith by your works. We got to be doing something when he comes for him. If it's just writing a letter, sending a text, we got to do everything we can do. If it's not what you think it is, could be, should be, if it's all you can do, that's what God looks at. Amen. You're in this body for a reason. You're not just in here for just to sit here. God has a work for you, but you have to step out and take it. You have to get out of that comfort zone. Go for it. He says, I'll never leave you, forsake you. And another scripture, I can do all things with Christ is in me. There's nothing that we can't do. Nothing. If God wants us to do it. Amen? I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, first and the last. Blessed are they that do these commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates of the city. Now this is what's happening outside. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. There's that lie again. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things into the church. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, and whosoever will let him take that water of life freely. Are you thirsty tonight? For I testify every man that heareth the words of this book, the words of this prophecy of this book. Now this is the one for the naysayers out there that don't believe that the Word of God is written that he wants it. If a man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of his prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of that holy city from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, come quickly, Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. And have a good week. I love you all. Thanks for making the effort to get here. God won't let you down. Like I said earlier, if you have anything, we all got stuff we need. This altar is open. For any Any problem? If you just want to thank God for what he's done for you.